Gracias, presidente.
Thank you very much, Chairman. If only that were the news that I was going to announce to plenary, but I don't have my instructions yet, but no doubt they will come in during the course of the afternoon or evening. We had insisted on having that list as soon as possible for that very reason, because we know that there are, of course, time differences and different priorities too. I had in fact asked for the floor to continue the extremely interesting discussion which you had tabled for discussion under agenda item one. In the view of Cuba, as part of issue one, it is important or necessary to have an approach which goes over and beyond the simple question of the behaviors of states. In fact, in this sector that we're discussing now, there are private companies whose use of space or whose behavior in state is in fact much greater than probably half of the members of the United States. So I think if we are to have a discussion about the responsible behavior of states, in order for such a discussion to really have meaning, we have to keep an eye on what we're leaving out of that discussion. We can have responsible behavior as states and establish regulations which can ensure that everyone complies with international law. Well, clearly, that is a useful exercise. But if we are truly concerned with all existing threats, then we need to be much more ambitious than that when we consider the scope of our discussion. In the view of Cuba, existing international law, which is something that we've been considering under issue one, well, it establishes norms. Well, they don't make non-state actors players, but they certainly do envisage non-state actors. And we have to think about the objective responsibility of a state when an object is placed in orbit, be this placed in orbit by a state agency or anybody else. Currently, in treaties, I don't believe that there is any clause or provision which rules out the responsibility of a state by using the argument that it is not their own responsible behavior, but rather that of a private company, just to use an example. So I think it's important for this group to start its work with a really very broad scope. I apologize because I wasn't here when everybody took the floor. But I wasn't here when UNIDIR made their statement, but I do commend them for their excellent work. I believe that this is a document which really does provide food for thought in respect of existing international law. Now, there are some areas or some gaps in the document, and the document also includes certain issues which, in fact, do not form part of current international law. But that is by the way. Now, there is another question that I wanted to bring to the attention of colleagues, really to set the ball rolling and in this working group. And this is in relation to a question that we asked about the scope of the principle of the peaceful use of space. Now, I'm clearly very thankful for the statements made by our academic colleagues when they explain that a working group has established that peaceful use equals non-aggression. But in fact, that's really very far from any legal understanding which exists in this area. In fact, peaceful use, in the view of the delegation of Cuba, and according to practice, at least up till now, immediately establishes an exclusion of military activities. This is in no way connected to the issue of legitimate defense and the question of United Nations Charter 51. When we talk about peaceful use in terms of law of the sea, for example, and this is a very broad compilation of law, then it is clear that military activities are excluded. In other words, you can't allege that it's a peaceful use to place a weapon for legitimate defense, because you're automatically assuming that in order to exercise this legitimate defense, you are envisaging a potential military use. So I think that this is something very important to be discussing in our working group. Now, why am I bringing this up now? I know that there are different interpretations, but if we reach a consensus on this question, it will allow us to move in a particular direction. Now, the delegation of Cuba believes that the peaceful use of space and celestial bodies automatically prohibits any military use of space. Then we could end up with a document where everybody here present is committed to such a view. So we could do that. However, if we have a restrictive view, then we could simply say that peaceful use equals not having any act of aggression. Then we will be aware that there is a real gap in international law applicable in this area. And there will therefore have to be a legally binding treaty in this regard. So I think it's a question of defining exactly to what extent the question of peaceful use goes. If you look at international law of the sea, peaceful use means one thing. And when you look at outer space, then peaceful use means something else. Now, regrettably, when you turn to international courts, then you can get an interpretation which is much more serious than what you can get in a political grouping such as this one. I believe that our work ought to focus on really narrowing down the scope of this question of peaceful use of space. And then there is the whole question of dual use of technology. And that is something which can be discussed further down the line. But I think it would be interesting to listen to the theoretical and legal arguments of colleagues.